In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you were able before Mass to hear our parishioner Colette Ball speak to you about our new Sankofa Catholic Ministries. As we here at St. Mary's have been celebrating, and today especially celebrate the National Black Catholic History Month. So I'd like to actually start by just being very blunt. Why should you care? After all, to be honest, if we're very honest, St. Mary's is a very white parish. It's not your fault. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. It's just simply for us to be able to look honestly where we are in South Carolina and the honest assessment of where we are. Simply, it's calling us really to look outside, though, of ourselves, to look with compassion on some people within our community, within our own parish, that are suffering, to step back and to try and appreciate the struggles, both past and present, of our brothers and sisters in the African American community. Now, hopefully you haven't heard this here in our parish, but we all have heard, well, they need to get over it. It was a long time ago. We need to move on and forget about that. It's a different time. But I can tell you, they do want to move on. They just need to know that you can help. They need to know, first and foremost, that we care. And that it's not something about them and that. We're speaking of people who are us, brothers and sisters of one faith, one Father, one baptism, one Lord. Now, in the South, where we live in, right, we need to recall, not forgetting our history, that under the Jim Crow laws, there were separate educational systems, completely separate, separate bathrooms, separate water fountains, separate swimming pools, and more. These things did not come to an end legally until 1965, decisions in 1968, and the final vestige was not until 1971. And the mentality that formed those initial laws, of course, continued. It is, in fact, into which I grew up in that era. In my own town of St. Matthews, I'm sad to say that instead of allowing black children to come to the local swimming pool, they filled it with cement. In the North, we're not immune. Those of you who came from the North, it was very prevalent there, especially in housing agreements that were there to keep people from not having certain housing. And we have to remember as well, in the 1960s, major race riots were actually in New York, New Jersey, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. What's also important to remember, many people who were alive then are still alive now. Or they were born into that immediate aftermath. And the psychological and social effects on people who are completely excluded, even rejected, simply because of the color of their skin. Those things just do not go away magically. We cannot just wish them to go away. They go away one step at a time, one kind act at a time, one kind word at a time. Now, it's true. You did not cause it. I did not cause it. But we've all inherited it like original sin. But get this, and this is the good news. From the 1920s through the 1960s, more than 300,000 African Americans across the country freely chose to enter the Catholic Church. This choice set them apart from their other African-American brothers and sisters who were usually Baptist, AME, or Holiness, or something like that. However, in choosing freely to be Catholic, these Black Americans were returning to the earliest Christian traditions of their ancestors in Africa, whose Christian communities in Sudan, Ethiopia, and Egypt were flourishing for four centuries before the faith had a firm foundation in Western Europe, from which almost all of us came and inherited our own faith. And today, the church, the arm of the church that's the fastest growing, is in fact the continent of Africa, growing by leaps and bounds. Seminaries are full to the brim. But going back to those who came into the church, and during that time, in the 1920s through the 1960s, can you guess why they did it? And even I've asked those who, we've had some wonderful African Americans who have joined in the last several years our own parish, and I've asked them as well, and it was the same answer. They all had their reasons, of course, but many were attracted by the kindness they found from people in the church, especially through education in our Catholic schools. We were ones reaching out to help bring education to those in need, also to others who were in need in a different way, perhaps in poverty, and the Catholic Church was there with our social services, handing out things more than just food, but love, kindness, compassion. The Catholic Church was there when they felt ostracized during those very difficult times in the civil rights movements, when the church took a stand against racism and injustice that many others were afraid to do. And we can be glad our own bishop at the time, Bishop Unterkeffler, integrated our Catholic schools before the South Carolina did, and joined in the marches all around, linking arm in arm. In a word, it was the people who lived and practiced their Catholic faith who helped bring people who were afraid to come, who felt rejected by the world. They came in because of the kindness. And you know what? It can be the same today. It is what we are called to do. Others will see that we care, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what language, that we want to help and help them over the last hurdle. Now, this all connects to our readings. The point of the readings today is simple. God wins in the end. The battle has already been decided. What has yet to be decided is which side you and I will choose. Our weapons in this battle are prayer, especially the rosary, and the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Seeing Christ in every person we meet, living each day to die to self and become more like Christ, so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In a word, to become saints. That is what each and every one of us is called to do, to let the light of Christ shine. The church that is reflected in heaven, this described in the book of Revelation, which says that I, John, saw, quote, a great multitude beyond counting of every nation and race and people and language. Everybody, you can imagine, every color on earth that humans come in, that's what John saw in heaven. And you know what? It doesn't have to just be there. We should strive here and even beginning in Aiken to make the reality of heaven a reality here on earth now and not wait. To reach out in love, compassion, and to say, you know what? I do care. And in the book of Daniel, we can be like those just, he said, and those who lead the many to justice shall shine like the stars forever. Let the light of Christ shine through every word and action. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.